So, introduce myself, Pastor Say. So, you want to guess my age? Who wants to guess my age? You want to guess my age? 59. Free lunch for you. Pastor will pay. My daughter is 50 years old. So she couldn't have been married when I was 10. I mean, what am I saying? I couldn't have had her when I was 10. No, my wife and I are I'm 69. She's 60-something. I won't give her age away. And our daughter is 50 years old. She lives in South Africa. And our son, he lives in Singapore. He used to be a pilot with Singapore Airlines. And he decided he was tired of flying, so he quit. He checked with us and he said, Dad, Mom, what do you think? I feel like quitting Singapore Airlines. And it seems like a crazy thing to do because it's one of those airlines that people love to, pilots love to work for, you know. It's one of the top airlines in the world, but he checked with us. And the reason I think he did that was accountability, you know. He just didn't want to do his own thing. But the other thing also, I think he checked with us because he's paying our mortgage every month. So it's just to let us have a say, all right? So the last 21 years, my wife and I have been traveling, living out of a suitcase, teaching and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most wonderful 21 years of our life. And before that, I was pastoring in Singapore, and that's about all I want to say about myself. We have two grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. I don't see them that much. It's one of the prices I have to pay in serving the Lord. And although I'm from Singapore, I'm hardly in Singapore. I have a place there. I have an apartment, seldom used. I think the cockroaches use it more than me. But that's about all I want to say about myself. All right. What time, Pastor, do I stop this morning? About 12, huh? Okay, good. All right. Are you happy? Doesn't show. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Just be relaxed. You know, it's okay. I'm not a surgeon. You know? Alright. I'm just a preacher. That's what I am. Alright, I want to talk this morning about pioneers and settlers. And I'm going to read a couple of definitions of what a pioneer is and what a settler is from the dictionary. But don't worry, I'm not preaching from the dictionary. The dictionary is not anointed. So I'm just going to read a couple of definitions. And the title of my message is Pioneers and Settlers. All right? Pioneers and Settlers. So what's a pioneer? Reading from a dictionary. Pioneer is a person, can be male, female, a person, can even be a teenager. Pioneer. All right? Who is among those, so a pioneer, from what I see, is not just a lone ranger, but works with other people, all right? A pioneer is among those who first enter or settle a region. So you know that this land was settled by pioneers. Pioneers came from Europe and made Australia what it is today. Aren't you glad? Who's glad? The rest are sad? No, we're glad. So they came here and it was rough in those days, huh? No four-wheel drive, nothing like that. I don't know how they travel, wagons and horseback maybe. So they're among those who first enter or settle a region. So a pioneer goes, he's an explorer, a discoverer. And he comes for the purpose of, he or she comes for the purpose of settling, building a community. All right? And so a pioneer is among those who first enter or settle a region, thus opening it for occupation and development by others coming from behind. Are you with me? All right, another definition of pioneer. Am I talking too fast for you? I need some feedback from you, you know. Good? Peter, is that all right? Okay, good. Second definition of pioneer is one who is first or among the earliest in any field of inquiry, enterprise, or progress. So it's not just geographical exploration and discovery, but it can be any field of study. For instance, there's an example given in the dictionary, pioneers in cancer research. See, discovering ways to deal with cancer, for instance, in specific kinds of cancer. All right, now let me give you synonyms for pioneer. Here are some words from the dictionary. Pioneer, synonym, leader. Leader is a pioneer. Goes where people have not gone before and leads others into that place or that area of study or whatever. Another synonym for pioneer is trailblazer. Where there's no trail, they make a trail. All right? Blazer. Burn a trail through the bush. Make a way. Another word for pioneer is forerunner. Forerunner. Okay, goes ahead of others. I like the word run. I'm glad they didn't call it forewalker, but forerunner. I like the picture of running. Amen? I see some of you starting to smile, but others of you, like, you are quite stingy with your smile. Okay, it's all right. I'm not just calling you names. I'm just trying to make you loosen up. Amen? And another synonym for pioneers, pathfinder. Find a path. Make a path. And let others follow behind. All right? Settler. I looked in the dictionary for settler. Much shorter definition. Settler is a person or thing that settles. It's easy to remember that one. All right, pioneers and settlers. You notice I didn't call this message, I didn't call it pioneers or settlers. I said pioneers and settlers. Because even in the definition of pioneer, he says they pioneer to settle. If you pioneer, if you're an explorer that never settles, then you're a nomad. Nomad, you just go from one place to another, live off the ground, and there's nothing else, you just move on. Never build community. Never build villages, cities, towns, whatsoever. Just a nomad. And I don't believe God wants us to be nomads. Are you with me? All right, now, let's go to the Bible now. And those definitions are still fresh on your mind, right? Right or wrong? Good. Genesis 1:28. Let's look at that. What's your name, sir? Steve. How are you, Steve? It's wonderful. During the worship, I saw your hands lifted up. You feeling cold there, Steve? Your hands are crossed now. Nah, just relax, Steve. It's okay. All right. So God made Adam and Eve. All right? Genesis 1:28. Did you see that? And God blessed them. Wow, isn't that wonderful? God made them and blessed them. He didn't say, do something first, then I might decide whether to bless you or not. He blessed them from the moment go. God is a God of blessing. He's wonderful. I don't know what you think of Him, but He's wonderful. Amen. He blessed them and He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right? I'll read that again. Be fruitful. And by the way, listen up. This is the first commandment to men. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. He makes them, He blesses them, and He says, be fruitful. Multiply. Fill the earth. Have dominion over the rest of creation. It's a command. Now let me ask you this. What do we do with a command from God? What do we do? Huh? Nike got it right. Just do it. Amen? All right. So, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What kind of language is that? Pioneering language or settling language? Huh? Hello? But primarily? Pioneering. Spread out. Check it out. Discover. Explore. Fill the earth. Don't just stay put in one spot. Check it out. Look what I've made. Amen. Exercise your delegated authority over all creation. Rule this earth on my behalf, with my spirit, and with my character. Because the first couple, Adam and Eve, were made perfect. By the way, Adam and Eve, you look in the Bible, in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Adam was God's son. Are you with me? He wasn't just a thing, a biological thing. He was actually God's son, and God's breath was put in him. And God's heart was put in him. And God's word was put in him. Are you with me? But he wasn't a robot. He had choice to choose God's way or not. Sad to say, he sinned. And a lot of people blame the wife for being tempted by the devil. But you know something? I read the Bible carefully. He was right there when his wife was tempted. And the silly fellow didn't say anything. Shame on him. And all the women said? Can't say, my wife made me do it. Later on when God asked him, why did you sin against me? Why did you eat of that fruit? I told you not to eat. And he says, the woman you gave to me, she did it. You notice that he's blaming two people. He's blaming the woman. And where did a woman come from? The woman you gave me. And ever since that time, man has been blaming the woman and God. Men, let's be men and face up. Let's be men and face up. Can I hear an amen? Some of the guys are getting angry at me now. They said, this guy is promoting the feminist cause. No, I'll get the women later on. Just give me a few moments. All right. Pioneering talk. Spread out. Check it out. Exercise the authority I gave you. Don't just stay put. That means if the first man had a pioneering spirit in him, and we are his descendants, hello, we have that pioneering spirit. There is that spirit. Man looks at the moon, I've got to go there. He looks at the Himalayas, I've got to go there. Are you with me? He looks at the ocean, I've got to sail there until I hit some land there. Sail, 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 and they come to Australia. Then they sail some more and they got New Zealand. Sail some more and they hit Antarctica. Then they said, let's turn back. Too cold here. Mars now. It's amazing. Thank God for pioneers because they make life more livable for us. Are you with me? A pioneer dreamed this thing up. And it's in my hands now. And I preach from it. Thank God for pioneers. Are you with me? Used to be a computer will fill a whole room. Nowadays, this is a computer. Mrs. E has one. She takes notes when I preach. She takes my photograph. Did you take my photograph? There's a royalty. You take pictures of me. You may be my wife, but you still have to pay. Thank God for pioneers. You with me? The creativity given by God, the sense of adventure given by God, just make sure it's for God's glory, not for man's glory. And it's for blessing the world and not destructive. Are you with me? So there are good kinds of pioneers, and we thank God for that. Even the program pastor that I'm preaching for, it's a Christian guy who wrote up this software that I'm preaching for. Because this thing is useless without software. You know what I'm saying? And this guy, and he's an Aussie, this chap. I don't know who he is. He does it for free. He's an Aussie. God bless him. And what's his name? Nick Carter. He's an Aussie. Every time I use this, I think of Nick Carter. God bless him. Sometimes his updates are a little bit slow because he's a one-man operation. Are you with me? God bless these type of people. They've got skills. They said, let me use this for God's glory. I need to write him an email and say, Nick, you know, you don't realize your software, I'm using it, and so many people are being blessed as I preach from your software. I think I ought to do that, Pastor, right? Just to encourage you. Love pioneers. In a sense, I'm a pioneer because my wife and I keep traveling for 21 years. See, I love that. Okay. Now, look at Genesis 2 and verse 8. Somebody like to read? So it'd be nice to hear another voice. Peter, would you like to read? Wow, your wife's got a huge Bible. Okay. Doesn't need batteries.
The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed.
All right. Thank you, Peter. The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there he put the man whom he had formed. What kind of language is that? Pioneering or settling? Huh? The Lord planted a garden and there he put the man there. Well, let me read verse 15. Peter, you read verse 15 as well. It becomes clearer if you read verse 15. Please read verse 15. All right, so what language is that? Settling. See that? The Lord made him a pioneer, and the Lord planted the garden. So the Lord gave him the idea, you don't just be a nomad, move, move, move. I'm going to plant a garden for you and take care of this garden. So the Lord gave him the idea that you're both. You're a pioneer and you're also a settler. You see that? We're both. We're pioneers and we're settlers. You pioneered once upon a time. You started a church in Perth because you love the Lord and the Lord loves people and he wanted a church here in Perth. And he spoke to you and you started a church. And now we have this. The Lord is good. But sometimes we can be so settled, we forgot we are also pioneers. It can happen because we're human. And sometimes we think the church, Zion, this church exists for itself. No, no, no. This church doesn't exist just for us. It exists for the whole world. It doesn't even exist only for Perth. It exists for the whole world. I like that statement there. A missions-oriented and prayerful church. Missions-oriented. That's, to me, another way of saying pioneering church. That touches God's hearts, changes their lives, and impacts nations for His glory. That's a pioneering statement. Let it not just be a statement, but a lifestyle. That we actually live that out. That we're not just a holy huddle, having our barbecues and having our whatever, life group meetings and forget the world. Are you with me? Now this is the favor God is doing for Australia and for many other countries. Sometimes we're too lazy to go find the world. God brings the world to us. I'm looking out here and I'm seeing the world. I can't help but think of Africa. Are you guys from South Africa? No? I heard there's some South Africans here. Who's from South Africa? Didn't come today. Who's from Philippines? Kumusta ka? And you didn't say mabuti. It's amazing. God brings the world to us. And when we just stick to our own kind. I know you're not that one, but you know, others. We're pioneers. And we're settlers. We're both. Now, what happened was, you know, Adam and Eve sinned, fell to temptation. And then there was corruption in the world. And generation after generation, it got worse, got worse, got worse. And finally, God made a very severe decision, and it's to destroy the world. He had to. Because man was destroying each other, mankind. And so God said, I'm going to bring a flood and kill everything. But the Lord was going to repopulate the world with a family that found favor with him. They had the favor of God. And that man was Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives. Altogether, how many people? Eight people. And God made a plan for their salvation. And God says, Noah, build an ark. I'm sending a flood. And this flood will flood the highest mountaintops. Nothing will be left alive. The highest mountaintops. And you go in there with your family. And when and with the animals that I send to you. And once the flood subsides, and I don't know how long it was, you know, Pastor. I don't remember how long that flood was. Several months. 377 days. That's more than a year. You know, everything died. And God miraculously fed them. You know, I believe it was a miracle. You know, no, you can't put how much food for eight people and all the animals. I believe God miraculously multiplied inside the ark. And then they came out of the ark after the flood subsided. And this is what God said to Noah. Let's go to Genesis 8, please. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar. Have you found it? Genesis 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, and he offered burnt offerings on the altar. First thing he did coming out of the ark, he worshiped God with animal sacrifices. Verse 21, Genesis 8, 21. When the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I'll never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Chapter 9, verse 1. The Lord blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? Genesis, when God spoke to Adam. So you see, God didn't change his command. He reiterates it to Noah and his family. He's going to repopulate. You know, there's one thing we discover about God. God is not wishy-washy. Can I hear an amen? Not wishy-washy. Once he makes up his mind, that's it. That's his plan. You're not going to change plan just because people are evil. He's also gracious and merciful that if we confess our sins, we repent, we get right with God. Are you with me? But his general plan doesn't change. So he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And then the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground. All the fish of the sea into your hand, they are delivered. So you have my delegated authority to rule this earth on my behalf. Amen. All right. Sad to say, things degenerate. And generations later, sin has multiplied on the earth. Tell you what, without Jesus Christ, there's no hope for you and for me. Honestly, that's why I got saved. I thought I'd make my plans. I know how to run my life. And at the age of 33, I hit the wall and I said, look, I've tried it. It doesn't work. Try another way. And I found Jesus. Or rather, Jesus found me. Are you with me? And since that time, it's been wonderful from the age. I almost divorced my wife, you know. That's how bad it was. I'm not proud of this. I'm just telling you how bad it was without Jesus. When we quarrel verbally. Then after that, kung fu fighting. Fists of fury. And I thought being bigger and taller that hit her, she'll stop yelling at me. I found that dynamite comes in small packages. This is Helen. Have you seen Helen, by the way, my wife? Steve, Peter, would you like to see? He saw you. Never mind, you stand again. Some of them didn't see you. This is Miss Dynamite. $150 days. What are you talking about? The flood. You checking my preaching now? I tell you, you know, He saved my life. Jesus saved my life. Saved my marriage. Saved my family. I'm eternally grateful. Amen. Eternally grateful. I serve Him out of a grateful heart. And I'm just happy for the privilege and the honor. Who am I, you know, to serve God? I'm a sinner saved by grace. We're all sinners saved by grace. Who are we? Nothing. Sometimes it bothers me to see people. I don't mean you. I'm talking about other people. So arrogant, so proud. Tomorrow I'll do this. Next year I'll do this. I'll start a company. I'll be the next billionaire. I'll be the next American Idol. I was thinking, you fool. Because you read the parable. Jesus said, all he has to do is you die. And what happens? You drop dead. None of us can make this promise. Tonight, I lay me down to sleep. Tomorrow I'll have breakfast. Can you make that promise and keep it? Because you lay me down and your McDonald's McMuffin will sit on the table there and you'll not rise up if God says you die. Are you with me? Nobody can make promises and say definitely today, tomorrow I'll go to this city, that city. What we can say is but by God's will. God willing, I'll do this, do that. Amen. Awesome God. Awesome, awesome God. This awesome God is amazing. And yet He cares about your hurting ankle, your hurting kneecap. And sometimes you forget, because He cares for you, you think He's your servant. Hello? He exists to serve you. No, no, no. We exist to serve Him. Let's get it right. Amen? Some of you look at me and say, like, I don't like this message. That makes me small. You know, I tell you, I was in New Zealand for 3 months. I just came back from New Zealand. April, May, June, we were in New Zealand. 3 months. Ministering there. And there was one Sunday I was in my friend's church. You know. I'll tell you, the awesome presence of God was there. It's just like any other Sunday. It was no special meeting. And this girl was leading the worship. And I wasn't the only one that felt it. The awesome presence of God. Like the king came into the room. I felt so small. I really didn't want to preach that Sunday. And then the pastor introduced me. I went up there. I looked at him. I said, you know what? I feel so small this morning. And I said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing I feel small. Because the king has come in. Are you with me? And I looked at him and said, I don't really need to preach, you know. But I'm submitted to the pastor. He has the local authority. Can I hear an amen? So he says, George, you go ahead and preach. And I preached. But I said, I felt so small. And it's a good thing. Sometimes people don't feel small. They feel big. And their God is small. But I like it. When God came in, I felt small and other people felt small. Because the king walked in. Amen? And I use that word carefully. Awesome. Awesome in the old English was meant for God. It bothers me nowadays. People say, "Wow, that's an awesome pair of shoes. Where did you get that?" Now everything's awesome. Trivialized. God is awesome. Amen? How am I getting on to this? I don't know. I'm supposed to talk about pioneers and settlers. But he's an awesome God. Please, let's not trivialize. Pastor, I give you feedback. One of the things that this morning I experienced, that this church has a reverence for God. I felt it. Now, it's good to be free, you know what I'm saying? Talk like friends, like what I'm doing now. But there's another side. Don't get over familiar with God. Are you with me? Don't cross the line. Don't cross the line. He is the king. If you ever get invited to Buckingham Palace, Steve, you don't walk in there and say, "Hi Liz, how are you doing? Good day. Good day, Mike." You don't do that. You stand when she says stand. You sit down when she says sit down. And you dare not move. And she's just a human being. Are you with me? And when she says, "Come forward, I'm going to knight you," and she picks up that sword, you better come slowly. If she misses and that's off. You don't just casually stroll up, hands in pocket. "How you doing, Liz? How you doing? Good day." You might die. So, God made him a pioneer. Genesis 9. All right? God blessed Noah and said, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth." Now I want to take you to another passage. Let's go to Genesis 9, verse 20. 9, verse 20. Would somebody like to read verse 20? Sir, what's your name? Yeah, the one looking at your Bible. What's your name? Dave. Dave, would you do me a favor and read verse 20? Genesis 9, verse 20. All right, thanks, Dave. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. What language is that? Pioneering or settling? Settling. See that? We are pioneers and we are settlers. I'm going somewhere with this message. I guarantee you that. I'm really encouraging us to live up to that vision statement. But that's in accordance with the word of God. Go ye into all the world and disciple the nations. Preach the gospel. Amen? Again, I say, this church doesn't exist just for yourself. We don't exist just to sing a few songs, collect the offering, pay up the mortgage, and wait to go to heaven. That's all. Certainly, there's more to life than that. Albert, we don't exist just to raise up your girls to love Jesus, go to university, graduate, get married, and give you grandchildren. It's to make an impact on nations and bring a whole bunch of people with us to heaven. Amen. All right. Let's go to Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Now, sad to say, I told you that things degenerated after Noah. It's good while he was around. Now let me read Genesis 11 verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. Back then, the world had one language and the same words for everything. I don't know what that language was. Maybe it wasn't English. I don't think it was English. All right? But why does it say same language and the same words? But I'll tell you why. Because I speak English and so do you speak English, right? But you've got certain words for things that's so different from me. Like if I want to buy you lunch, I say, I'll give you a treat. Aussies will say, I'll shout you. No, the first time an Aussie said, I'll shout you, I thought he was angry with me. You want to shout at me? And you want to take me to a restaurant to shout at me? Why can't you shout at me right here? I'll shout you. Well, go to... Well, same language, different words. South America, they speak Spanish in South America. But I read somewhere the word for banana in Cuba could be different from the word banana in Guatemala. And different from another word in Venezuela. You see? So it gets pretty confusing, right? Are you with me? For me, it's a chicken. For you, it's a chook. Now make up our mind. What are we talking about? Two different... All right? I'm not making fun of you. I'm just saying that we are like that, you see? And, all right. We Asians speak some funny language, English, but I got no time to get into that. So a South African friend of mine said, you guys, you mash the English language. Verse 2. And as people, this is several generations after Noah. This is what I'm reading now. A few generations after Noah. And as people migrated from the east, migrated, what language is that? Pioneering. As people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they settled there. See that? Man has always been in his heart a pioneer and a settler. Pioneers have to settle down somewhere and settlers have to keep on pioneering. Sometimes we pioneer because it's built in our DNA. God made it from the day of Adam. It's there in our DNA. You're just responding to your DNA. Sometimes people pioneer, they migrate out of necessity, famine. They migrate. Are you with me? Sometimes it's because of wars. That's why the Chinese are all over the place. Because there was famines in the history of China and wars and people ran. And went to other countries. Are you with me? Sometimes out of necessity, sometimes out of that DNA that's put in them. Sometimes out of opportunity. Not war, not famine, but they just think there's a better life in Aussie. You see what I'm saying? Whatever the motivation is. But inside of man, there's that thing of, let's break camp and let's move on. Check out what's yonder, what's beyond. Amen? And I believe this is put in our hearts and the church must never lose this. And yet the church must have foundations rooted and grounded in Christ. In the Word of God. And when we pioneer, we should be led by the Spirit of God and not just do our own thing. Are you with me? And they said to one another, so these people migrated. They were geographical explorers and they found this place. And they said, let's settle. Verse 3. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Now this is pioneering, not geographical, but scientific. This to me is an amazing thing. This is a technological breakthrough, verse 3. Because prior to this, you know how they built buildings? They went up to big mountain sites. And you know the amazing thing, Dave? They had no power tools, no cranes, no forklift, nothing. And I don't know how they, in no dynamite, how they got these huge boulders out of mountain sides, no trucks, and how they moved them to the construction site, and they just stacked these big boulders. Are you with me? And we still have those buildings still standing. The Great Wall of China, pyramids of, what do you call it? Egypt. You go to South America, Machu Picchu, up in the mountains. They have these temples they built. It's a horrible way to build, very slow, very costly. Many people died. Once I was going to the Great Wall of China, the tour guide that was driving the bus said, and he was quoting some figures, he said, you know, thousands of people died just for this section of the wall. And I was thinking, my, for the glory of an earthly king, people gave their lives. How much more should, for the glory of the heavenly King Jesus, we give our lives? Are you with me? Well, anyway, those buildings still stand. And so there was technological breakthrough. Some bright spark one day, maybe after the rains, saw this mushy, muddy thing, you know, there. Just sea of mud. Then the sun comes out, dries out the water, and then this mud becomes that hard stuff. And this bright spark's looking there and said, hey, flash of inspiration. What if we took this mud and put it into molds that they all come out in uniform size? And don't wait for the sun to dry out the water. Take it and put it into ovens. Dry out the water, and then out comes this what? Brick. And this can be the new building material. Light. Easily transportable. Amen? And we have bricks. Way back then. This is pioneering. Are you with me? Just like this is pioneering. The product of pioneering. Inspiration. So anyway, but the thing is, how do you stack these bricks? How do you keep them together? Because concrete and cement had not at that stage been discovered. So there was this stuff coming out of the ground called bitumen. By the way, this place where I'm talking about is present-day Iraq. And that black stuff still comes out of the ground. Bitumen. And bitumen is an amazing material. Do you realize bitumen, or you call it asphalt, is still being used today? Thousands of years later. You got on your road there, your driveway, that's bitumen. Bitumen is all-weather material. Winter holds those stones together. Summer, it holds those stones together. It's amazing stuff made by God. Bitumen. And this guy just said, aha, I'll use that for the bricks. And they held it together. Are you with me? Church, I'm trying to inspire you, really. I believe not me, but God. We've got a fantastic creative brain that God's given us. Such a shame, you know. I see kids with this thing. You know what they're doing with this thing? Candy Crush. Flappy Bird. Happy Bird. Sad Bird. I don't know what kind of bird. I want to cry. I look at these kids. A whole generation. Their minds, you know. It's a drug. I saw a mother the other day, time to eat, you know. It's a little kid, small girl. We were there in that food court. Little girl in Singapore. And the mother tried to take the not a, it was like your thing, a note, Samsung note. She was playing, she was engrossed. She was addicted. And the mother wanted her to eat. She screamed at the mother, punched the father. And inside of me, I wanted to go to the kid and not smack her, but something more severe, strangle her. No. But actually, I told myself, why am I getting angry with the kid? It's the parents' fault. You're too lazy. That's the nanny now. And you're not thinking straight. Your child, your grandchildren will be addicted to these silly things. And using your brains Don't get me started on this, all right? I want to preach the word. This is the kind of thing. Explorers. Exploring in the mind. What can we do to bless this world? Nick Carter has blessed this world by making software that I'm preaching from. God bless you, Nick Carter. May there be more Nick Carters around who never charge 1 cent. Not 1 cent. He says, I'm doing this for God. If you want, you make a donation. He probably has a day job, you know, Pastor. That's why he's slow on the updates. He's got a day job. He's probably got a family to feed. And in his free time, he makes software for people like me. God bless him. He could have made software, the next Flappy Bird, and made millions, charging 99 cents per installation. Are you with me? But he's doing this, Pastor, for free. And his name is not famous. If I didn't mention Nick Carter, you don't even know who's Nick Carter. Are you with me? Oh, Lord, I see young people here. Please, don't waste your life, lah. Please, I beg you, don't waste your life. Amen? I look at you young guys. Please, don't waste your life. There's a powerful DNA in you. Pray and say, oh God, what can I do with the talents and the gifts and the anointing you've given to me? Show me how to bless this world. And please also, when you get any bright ideas, please run it by your pastor. Can I hear an amen? So we find out whether it's from God or whether it's from too much pizza. Sausage. All right, so verse 4. I want to land this thing very quickly. Are you getting something out of this? Huh? Otherwise, you might as well just pack up and go home. I'm going to land this thing soon. So verse 4. So they had the technology. Now they need an application. So verse 4. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Wow. It caught the Lord's attention. Now, you know, God can see from heaven. He doesn't need to come down to check it out. Are you with me? But to me, this is sort of like you've got a boss. Right? Where does your boss... Albert, I'm looking at you. Where your boss is in Brisbane, right? And he knows what you're doing, right? Through the internet. But if your boss says, I'm going to fly to Perth and check out what Albert's doing, Albert starts to shake. The boss is coming from the headquarters to check it out. And this is what God did. He came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, listen, this is words of God. Verse 6, behold, there are one people. They all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. I've given them the power, the brains, and everything. They have one language, there's no miscommunication, one plan, one goal, everything. This is only the beginning, and God alone knows where it will end up. These people are so smart because God made them smart. Can I hear an amen? So verse 7, God says, come, let us go down there and confuse their language so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building that city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Hello, God. I thought you made us pioneers. These guys are pioneers. I thought you made us settlers. Now, these guys are building a city to settle in. Why on earth did you come down, check it out, and why were you displeased? And why did you mess with their language so now they can't communicate and they can't build? That whole project stopped. why did you stop? I thought pioneering is your idea, settling is your idea. Why did you interfere? Who's got the answer? Put your hand up. Peter, you put your hand up before Irene. Give that man 3 lollies. Give that man 3 lollies. Pastor, from your pocket. Peter, are you a preacher, pastor? You just read your Bible, right? Good on you, man. Listen to verse 4. This is the problem. This is the problem. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for who? Ourselves. Self-glory, not for God's glory. Give me a simple word that describes this feeling that they had. Stronger than pride. Stronger, it's an A word. Arrogance. Oh. Let's build for who? Ourselves. And make a name for who? Ourselves. No credit given to God. There was another reason. Look at verse 4 and tell me why God interfered with that project. What's the second reason? Please speak to me. Verse 4. Yes, what's your name? Huh? Bird. Bert. All right. See what I say? Bert. I heard wrongly. I heard Bert. Sorry, Bert. All right. Tell me the reason, please. The second reason. Give that man 3 lollies. God's original intention, and more than intention, was a commandment. Be fruitful, multiply, and what? Fill the earth. Listen to what they said. We want to build this super tower, make a name for ourselves, and what? Lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. We're not going to spread out. We don't care what God says. We're going to concentrate all our resources here, all our technology here, everything here, brains, money, resources, technology, concentrated here and not share with the world. It contravenes, as Bert says, it contravenes the intention of God. God is a God who shares. Can I hear an amen? Now, what do you call this attitude that they had? The first one was arrogance. What do you call this? Stronger than selfish, Irene. Rebellion. Rebellion. We will not. Who says we must? Do you know these two spirits? When I say spirits, I don't mean demons. I mean spirit. Drives this earth. One is arrogance. And the other one is rebellion. Every day. Let me say something. Let me say something. People get very worked up about this legalizing gay marriage, same sex. Do you know that for me, I look at it, it is not just about your sexual preference, you know. The root of this is what? Rebellion. You can get so sidetracked and think it's a sexual thing, and you can get worked up about any other cause, dressing, music. And you miss the boat because at the root of it is what? Rebellion. It is just rebellion manifested in different ways. Here it was rebellion manifested in architecture, in building. You say, what's wrong with building? What's wrong with technology? What's wrong with science? Nothing wrong. Where did they get the technology to make bricks? Came from God. But it's the motive. It's the motive. It's the reason why you're doing what you're doing. The sin is not technology. Can I hear an amen? People use this to watch pornography. Are you with me? This is not sinful. It's the heart of man that's sinful. Can I hear an amen? So it's no use saying ban all computers. That's not the issue. That's not the issue. We missed the boat. The issue is about rebellion. Not rebellion against me. Who cares what I feel or my sexual preferences? Rebellion against what? God. You see, the whole thing is people get upset. I have my sexual preference. You have your special preference. Why can't we live and let live? Why must you this and that? Why must you incur on my preference? And it's not about that. If you ask me, would I get involved in an anti-gay parade? I would not. Not because I approve of that lifestyle. But I'm saying we're missing the boat. Can I hear an amen? Let's deal with rebellion. And once rebellion is gone, people will make the right choices in their life. Whether it's sexual, whether it's music or whatever, it doesn't matter. And Christ came to heal this disease called rebellion. Amen? Christ came to heal this disease that's called arrogance. Recently, I preached in an old folks' home a few months ago in New Zealand. I was kind of reluctant to go, but my friend was living there, and Danny said, would you please come, you know? And then he said, a couple of guys here that are actually final stages of cancer, would you come in? When he said that, I immediately decided to go. Decided to go, yeah. And before going, the guy that was, what do you call that, the coordinator, he's not a pastor, but he said, you've got 15 minutes. And so the day came, the evening came, I went there. He looked at me, then he said, you've got 10 minutes. So obviously, I wasn't even worth more than 10 minutes. So he said, you've got 10 minutes. And I said to myself, what's the topic? And he said, you talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus the Savior. And I said to myself, how am I going to talk about Jesus the Savior in 10 minutes? And then God gave me an idea. You see, you talk about creativity. God gave me an idea. How to get their attention in 10 minutes and get them to respond to Jesus in 10 minutes. So at that time, Ebola was just spreading like crazy a few months ago. Huh? Sierra Leone. Where else? Liberia. And one more country, I can't remember. Huh? Not Korea. Ebola. Guinea. So I said to them, I said, okay. Now, everybody's scared, you know. I mean, you arrive. Even this time I came to Perth, you know, I had to fill a questionnaire. Have you been to Africa? Have you been to... And then they named some countries. They were scared. So I said, okay. I said, you scared also? Huh? The old folks home said, oh, yeah, we're very scared. Scared of also ISIS. Was very scared. And then I said, okay, you know why we're scared? Because there's no cure. No cure for this disease. And this disease right now is striking mainly Africa. And you know the evil in people's minds, you know, the security experts were thinking, you know, with ISIS. ISIS, he walks into a cafe and he kills a few people with a machete. But the security experts were already imagining all sorts of evil scenarios. That one of these ISIS guys will purposely go to Ebola land, pick up Ebola virus, get on a plane and fly to London and walk around. Fly to Sydney with Ebola virus and just walk around. He will take out more people than with a homemade bomb. Are you with me? This is the world we live in. So I said to them, I said, you're scared because there's no cure for this disease. But I want to tell you something. There is a disease that kills everybody in all the world, old, young, male, female, every race, every ethnic group. This disease is so deadly, everybody guaranteed to die of this disease. What is this disease called? Two people shouted, sin. They did the preaching for me. They shouted from the congregation. There were a couple of Christians. Sin! They shouted so loud. I said, give the man a lolly. Then I said, you know, the wonderful thing about this disease, the scary thing about this disease is no matter what ethnic group, what age group, where you come from, all die from this disease. Are you with me? The wonderful thing is there's a cure for this disease. Then I asked them, 10 minutes, Pastor. When you pressurize me, all the stories, I get straight to the core. I said, what's the cure for this disease? And somebody shouted, the blood of Jesus Christ. I said, absolutely right. Every other disease, the disease comes first, you find the cure. This one, the cure comes before the disease. Isn't God wonderful? And this cure is free of charge. If anyone discovers the cure for Ebola, can you imagine how much they're going to charge for that research? But the cure for the 100% fatal disease called sin is free of charge. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And for eternity, it's the same cure for the same disease. The cure never gets weaker, no matter what the sin. Amen. Well, we close now. God had to stop. Because why? Man was arrogant and man was rebellious. And God found another man. Ha ha ha. God always will fulfill His will. And God found a man that was willing and able. So the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. What language is that? Pioneering. And I'll make of you a great nation and I'll bless you and make your name great so you'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God's ultimate plan. And this man, Abraham, is called the father of our faith. Amen. Because he was humble, he listened to God, and he became the father of a new species of man. A species of man that follows God by faith. Amen? I'll bless you, and I'll make you a blessing, that in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. But one thing he says this, and I will make your name great. You see the difference? The people in Babel, they want to make their name great. God says, no, 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 no. Hello? If you humble yourself, I will make your name great. Now, what does your name great? I'll make your name great. You see, today's Christians have to say, when God says, I'll make your name great, they think, you know, richest man, biggest house in Perth, flashiest car. Huh? Higher salary. No, no, no. When God says, I'll make your name great, Zion, in Perth, you've got a name for kindness. You've got a name for generosity. You've got a name for forgiveness, forgiving. You've got a name for honesty. You've got a name for truthfulness. You've got a name for caring for the lost. You've got a name. Amen. What sort of name can God give you? Ask yourself. What sort of name does God want to give you? Zion. Just a church that exists for itself? Or God looks down and comes down from heaven and checks Zion out and says, you know what? I like your church. Because your church has a name for truthfulness. Your church has a name for kindness. Your church has a name for honesty. Your church is like my son. Amen. So what kind of name would you like God to give you? Amen. Pioneers and settlers. Please don't stagnate. Don't use your God-given gifts and intelligence for selfish ends. But say, God, what do you want me to do with this life? All that you've given me, how do you want me to live? That you get the glory and we impact nations. Amen. It is a privilege to speak to Christians today in Zion. But please, let us understand why God saved us and God created us. Why God asked this couple to start a church. Let us remember that reason. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. You're a God of intention. You're a God of planning. You're a God of communication. You're a God of creativity. You're a God of blessing. You're a God of love. And we can go on and on and on and on. But we are your children. And we have your DNA. And you've called us to be pioneers. And you call us to be settlers. So Lord, give us ideas from heaven as to how we can impact the place we work, the place we study, the people we come into contact with. Not in an abrasive way, but in a very natural, loving way. We can change this world one person at a time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please set us free from arrogance and set us free from rebellion, because this is what drives this world. Set us free from these diseases that will destroy us and fill us with your life and your truth and your grace and your spirit, so we'll make a difference. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name forever and ever.